Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, even though it be a cross that raiseth me. Still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Reading from Colossians, the third chapter, beginning to read at verse 9, Colossians chapter 3. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's be thankful for these words, giving thanks to God for them, which we can only do through Christ. If we've received him, then we can do it. And otherwise, as Christ said, without me you can do nothing, not even pray, not even be thankful. But let's pray that we'll have Christ for those that have never received him, and for those that have him, that we might have more of him, the church being revived. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks for these words that we have read. We give thanks for this way in Christ for sinners on the earth, that through Christ there was a church established here at Colossae, and through Christ there can be his body in every place. We pray, Father, that soon it might come, as the psalmist could speak and say, all the ends of the earth shall hear and fear and turn unto thee. We pray also for particular people, as thou hast said, I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, not according to the covenant that was made with their fathers, which they break, but a new covenant, writing thy law upon their hearts, from the least to the greatest, that they would not have to teach every man his brother, but all would know thee. And we pray for that, Father, for both Jew and Gentile. We have read that in Christ there is neither Jew, nor Greek, circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. All must be made one in Christ, all are sinners together. And help us to see it, help us to see it, Father, in ourself first, that we might then take the beam out of our own eye and see clearly to take the splinter out of another's eye, that we might see it that way, as Paul could say he was the chief of sinners, knowing his sin better than that of others. We pray for such a reviving in the church, and that we may know together that we are sinners, that we may know together, like the Corinthians did, that there's reason to mourn over it and have a godly sorrow, to have a repentance that needs not to be repented of, that we might have such a reviving as the Corinthians did. We also think of the revivings and the awakenings that have been in other times. We think of that, the time of the Reformation. We think of the time in our nation, the Great Awakening, also the Second Great Awakening, and other times of reviving. We pray, Father, for such a blessing again through Christ, that the church might be revived, that it will be a light and a salt, and not just a salt that hath lost its savor, only to be trodden underfoot of men, as we fear we are today in our nation, and possibly some in other nations as well. The church growing weak, awful weak in our homes, our other ways. We pray, Father, to teach us to repent and to be forgiven, that we might say as David did, in having all of that, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. We pray, Father, also for the temporal needs of the homeless, the hungry, that they might be prepared for death, that are going to die in starvation. We pray for those that are suffering because of thy name's sake, those in war. We pray for our homes, the broken homes, especially the children in those homes. We pray for the schools. We pray for the police to be protected, soldiers, all these things. Father, we pray and give thanks that we have so many blessings, and yet we need so many as well through Christ. Amen. As we continue here in this letter to this church 1900 and some years ago, a letter also to each one of us, we need exactly the same words as we just read. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man and his deeds. If we are truly in the body of Christ, if we are, as the beginning of the chapter states, if you are then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We are to seek them. What are those things? One of the things is what we read here. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Above the other things, as Paul writes to the Corinthians and states, faith, hope, and love, or charity. The greatest of these is charity. Some want to make those words the same. Some will say that charity has a fuller meaning than the word love. But both are needed. John writes much about love in his first epistle. And Christ gave much instruction about love just before he died. Record in John chapter 13, 14, 15, that the apostles were to love one another. And he said, by this the world would know that they were his followers, that they had risen with him. And at that time they didn't understand any of that, but the instruction was there. And as we can read in other places and of other things, would be later they would remember his words and sometimes be reproved that they hadn't. And we need to remember what we read here and do what we read. If we are not doers, we're only building on sand that will be washed away in the day of God's wrath and judgment. Again, those words, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. They go together. If you've been risen with Christ, if you have put off the old man, the being risen with Christ follows in the 10th verse, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It is Christ that created us, and it is Christ especially that needs to recreate us, as we saw in the 2nd chapter, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That is the new birth. That is the washing of regeneration. That is all what Christ says must take place. And we have different ways of describing it, but it is all being born of the Spirit, being born from above. That which is of the flesh is flesh, Christ said to Nicodemus, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said, ye must be born again. Have you had that blessing, the new birth? Some think it's not necessary. I've heard people say that. Also, people think of different things that the new birth is. Some want to identify it with baptism, and they say that is really the new birth when we are baptized. Others think you do this and then you'll be born again. Many teach that, but it is not we do it and then we'll be born again. No more than a child will do something to get born, to be born. His mother does it. The Spirit does it for us. That which is of the flesh is flesh. And that's all we have before we have the Spirit of Christ. If we have anything else, we have the spirit of disobedience. We have the spirit of Satan. We have the spirit of unbelief. That's all. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Some may think, well, I exercised my free will. I did this, I did that. That's just so much pride. You sinned. I sinned. God saves alone through Christ, by the Spirit, by the Word, but especially because of Christ. Christ paid the price alone on the cross. You weren't there to help, neither was I. We were the ones that, if we had been there, would have said with the rest, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. Isaiah describes all of us together. In the beginning of that wonderful chapter that describes Christ's picture of the gospel, Isaiah 53, but in the beginning it says, he was despised and rejected of men. When we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. That's us. That's me. That's you. I don't care who you are. As much as the blessing is for all, so is repentance. We read in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. That's from the beginning to the end. He must be our prophet, our priest, our king. We have much the same subject as we are having here from Paul to the Colossians, as Paul when he wrote to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read in verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ, if you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." That was the picture that Paul gives to them of their past, of their beginning, of their coming into being as a church. If so be you have heard him. Paul was there. He was the preacher that preached in Ephesus. Christ wasn't there bodily, but he was there as in Paul, Paul being a witness. And that's why Paul can say, "You have not so learned Christ." Paul and others preached Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the second epistle and says, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Yes, Paul is speaking here, but he's speaking as an ambassador of Christ. He's speaking as a witness of what Christ has given him and what Christ has taught him. And that's why he could say, writing to the Colossians, "If so be that you are risen with Christ," risen with him. Number of years after Christ was risen, evidently this church would start. After we had the beginning of the apostles being sent to the Gentiles, Paul was a witness to the Gentiles, but as I said before, we don't know how this church at Colossae was started. We do have the history of Corinth, we do have the history of Ephesus, but not the beginning history of the Colossians. We also have the beginning history, at least some of it, of the Thessalonians. But we don't know who was the one that preached the message to the Colossians, that through that message they were risen with Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith gives us that new birth by the Spirit working with the Word. As I said, we have different descriptions of it. James describes it a little different than what the Lord Jesus did to Nicodemus. Also, a little different than what Paul writes to Titus, the washing of regeneration. James writes, James chapter 1, verse 18, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Begot us with the word of truth. Probably the best way to understand it is like Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "We came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost." So if we are begotten by the Spirit, the Word will be there. If we're begotten by the Word, the Spirit has to be there. All of these things have to be there together. As I mentioned, I believe last week, like a puzzle, we keep putting this piece, till the picture is full. Paul is adding to what some people would think a puzzle, what some people would say turns the world upside down rather than the right side up. But we must keep the beginning as well as the end, if you'll be risen with Christ. One way to describe the beginning, I probably referred to it already before, what John said about Christ in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, before we have the actual words of Christ recorded by John, "To as many as received him," Christ, spoken of in the earlier part of that chapter. And these are the words of the 12th verse of John chapter 1. "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name." That's often used by those who say, "We have to do it. We did it." That scripture taken alone might sound like that, might give some of that indication. To as many as received him, we're given power. Well, first of all, did we have power to get power? When Christ said, "Without me you can do nothing," the next verse gives the explanation. After he stated what we just quoted, he says, who were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. So those that received Christ were born of God, or we might even say being born of God. And as Christ himself would say later, no man comes unto me except the Father draw him. And he also states, no man comes to the Father except by me. They are together, one, the Father and the Son. We can't always comprehend it, but as little children, we have to learn it and believe it. And here, how can we comprehend? If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Have we been there? Do we know what's there? To some extent, yes, because we know Christ is there. And we know that, as we just read from Paul's word to the Ephesians, you have not so learned Christ. Christ talks about what the Spirit will do. He will lead unto all truth. He will take the things of mine and show them to you. Paul also, the witness of Christ, tells us about the fruits of the Spirit when he writes to the Galatians, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these fruits of the Spirit come from Christ himself. And if we are going to have those blessings, seek those things which are above, as we read before, above all these things, put on charity, love, make sure we have that. We can do a multitude of things without love. We can be formalist. We can be legalist. All of that. Wash the outside the cup. But we must be risen with Christ. We must have it as Paul reminded those at Rome. Romans chapter 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's one thing. Then the other. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if you've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In that way, we can seek those things which are above, risen with Christ. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Then going to the ninth verse of the same chapter, Romans chapter 6. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. That's a picture of Christ. And now, ourselves. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If it's through Jesus Christ our Lord, it must be by the Spirit, it must be by the Word, but it also must be by the person of Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That has to be in our mind all the time. I need Christ. I need to seek those things from him. And only then can we truly do and have what we read. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Again, much the same as Paul wrote to Ephesians. I read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. But in verse 22, much the same language, just in slightly different words, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's you and I in our natural state. That has to be put off, recognized, repented of, confessed, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Much the same thing, as I said, as Paul writes to both churches and to us. Put off lying, put off the old man, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Part of what we must have is believing. Believing in God. That's how we know him. We know him by faith. Faith which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, we see some of God in nature. His Godhead, his power, his wisdom. The fact that he repeats year after year after year, seed time and harvest. Summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night. The moon every 29 days, a new moon. All of that is God's order, God's wisdom, God's power. But to know God in the holiness, to know God in his love, to know God in Christ, we need his word. We need it preached purely. We need it preached wholly. Paul says to the Ephesians, after they had been established and he visited them, what was the last time? I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That should make especially us who teach tremble. Do I do that? Do I do it sufficiently? Do I do it balanced? Do I do it together, justification and sanctification? Justification must come first. We must die, be forgiven, pardoned. Then we must be made new creatures to have sanctification, to be forgiven for our sins, and then to be delivered from the power of it. As we quoted from John's words, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And here we have most of this here is referring to sanctification. Put off lying. Put on the new man. Don't do this. Last week we saw, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. All of that is part of the flesh that striveth against the spirit, wants to stay there, but must be crucified. And if we don't do it, we haven't really heard the voice of Christ as he gives it through the prophets, through the apostles, through all of what he gives us by the inspiration of his holy word. Yes, a holy word, a true word. Those who were given the Old Testament scriptures will not take the New Testament scriptures. Those who have another book would say, well, this one is corrupted. It is not corrupted. Whoever denies it remains in corruption, needs to repent and believe the gospel of Christ. Christ, the Son of God, dying, rising, ascending, sitting on the right hand of God, his Father. God's Son, there, now, believe on him, and you can have, through him, eternal life.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise